grace and his peace to you as we celebrate this resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today comes from our Gospel reading, chapter 24 of St. Luke, verses 1 through 11. Particularly, I want to call your attention to verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" In our own life, we do this many times. We look for the living, the purpose of life, the direction of life amongst the dead things. It doesn't get us anywhere. Quite the opposite. It just creates a little bit more frustration in our lives. So to sort of begin, I have to ask the question, what questions or concerns are going through your mind right now? Could you name 10 things in your life that are bothering you that you wish you could change? Are your prayers filled with more help me requests to God instead of thank you responses? Are you looking for a purpose or direction in which everything turns out all right? It seems like our bookstores are filled with many self-help books that somehow never seem to find the perfect path. If this sounds like your life, don't worry. There are millions of other Americans out there in the same predicament. Even in our gospel reading for today, the women who had woken up early to prepare the body of Jesus for its burial, they came to the tomb with very heavy hearts. They had a lot of emotional baggage they were carrying besides the spices to prepare for Jesus' burial. They were going through the motions of life, you could say, without really experiencing life. Again, does this sound like you? And just when it seems that life couldn't get any worse, you know how the cliche goes, it did. On Friday, they watched where the body of Jesus was buried. They knew the place. But when they got there, guess what? No body. Now what? Now they were even more troubled than they were before. If losing a close friend and your hopes on that close friend being the Messiah wasn't bad enough, that was shattered on Good Friday, now knowing that the tomb is empty really perplexed them. Even in our own lives, when it seems that it can't get any worse, guess what? Sometimes it does. We also get troubled, just like the women at the tomb. But it even gets worse than that. At the tomb, two men startled the women. And then the strangest of all questions was sort of asked of them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Strangely enough, that strange question we need to even ask ourselves. So let's hang on to this point for a moment. The reason is that how much of our own lives are spent in seeking out life amongst dead things? What weighs you down? What burdens your hearts? What causes you to lose energy? What causes you to worry? With all these weights in our life, no wonder why there are so many self-help books in today's world. Why people will go to such great lengths to solve their problems, but yet get very little relief from their suffering. Plain and simple, we live in a world of sin. We see the morality of the world around us on a decline. We see conflicts among nations, even within nations. We see conflicts in our communities, and yet even in our own families. And can it get worse? Yes, it can. We see the same conflicts even within the Christian church. We live in a world where more and more of our time and energy are given over to toys. You know, those activities and things designed to give us pleasure, but in the end, are we any happier? The answer is no. The population around us is increasing, but people now in today's world are more prone to loneliness than any other time throughout history. We smile and say hello to everybody, but deep down inside, we're still carrying the burden and weight of sin and conflict. I'm amazed at how many families I see falling apart. People losing their jobs, troubles at work, crisis of one sort or another within the family. And does it get worse? Yes. Even within the church, there is great disagreement of one sort or another. You see, no one is ready to admit to the problems. Like, how many of you remember the fable of the emperor's new clothes? Everyone was oohing and aahing about the new clothes, the new expensive clothes the emperor had, where in reality, the emperor wasn't wearing anything at all. It wasn't until a very honest young child said, "The king isn't wearing anything at all," that broke the silence. But who has the courage to take an honest look at their life and the world around them? Sure, we can say we see the effects of sin in the world around us. But do we see sin, if we're not in denial, that is, see the sin within us? All our ideas, all our hopes don't provide any solution. We're like the women looking for the dead. But we have to realize we ourselves are dead to sin. That's why we're chasing the deadness in the world around us. We chase after all these solutions for the world, and sometimes even for us, but we miss the basic point. The sin is within us. We have met the enemy, and it is us. We are seeking relief, but only looking for it in the dead. There is an answer, however. After the strange question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" the two men continue on in verse 6 and 7. They say, "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" The answer is not in some mindless philosophy, nor in any mystic religion. You see, all other religions place a burden upon people, saying you have to do this or you have to do that to gain acceptance or some religious purity to get to heaven. It is only in Christianity does God say, "You can't do it." God knows, no matter how hard you try, you cannot unburden yourself. Even if you read all the self-help books in the whole world, even if you attended all the different religious ceremonies that you can, you still cannot unburden your lives completely. Only the Maker, the one who designed you, the one who redeemed you, the one who sanctified you, he is the one with the original blueprints. He is the one with the answer. And God's answer is this: "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The answer is only Jesus' death and his resurrection can unburden your life. Only in him are your sins forgiven. Only in him are you made whole. Only in him do you have eternal life. Verse 8. Then they remembered his words. I guess the women didn't have that senior moment. They remembered and were filled with joy. He's alive. Our salvation is complete. They went back and told the disciples, but the disciples didn't believe them. But still, their life on this side of heaven was not complete. Yes, there was still some confusion. Even upon Jesus and upon his ascension into heaven, not all the disciples fully understood. That came a little bit later, day of Pentecost. But while we're still on this side of heaven, like the women and like the disciples, we also are trying to make sense of the resurrection. I've read some Christians who are trying to make sense of the resurrection who say that if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, all your problems on this side of heaven will be solved. I wish that was biblical, but it isn't. You see, the hope we have is not in the things of this world, nor is it being attached to the things of this world and somehow trying to make sense out of it. No, our hope is in the fact of the resurrection of the dead. Our hope is through the resurrection of Jesus, that all who believe and trust in him will have the gift of eternal life. It is in him that our sins are taken away. Our hope is that we don't get attached to the things of this world and lose sight of the resurrection of the dead. Because the things of this world weigh us down, our hope is in the resurrection of the dead. Because he lives, we shall live also. Jesus died to take away the sin of this world, even the sin within us, and to deliver us into the family of God. Notice that Jesus did all the action. We just believe and trust in him. We don't seek our life in dead things around us, but in the living, and he's alive. And the women, remembering his words, we also remember his words. Because as sinners, we come wailing in our sins, seeking his words. It's his words that provide life. It's his words that provide hope. He alone provides relief in these words. And when these words are attached to simple elements like bread and wine, something spectacular happens there. We have the assurance of the sins forgiven and our faith is strengthened. Jesus said to the disciples when instituting the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me, the body and blood of Christ, in with and under the bread and the wine, for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins." Why did he give us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Plain and simple, we can't unburden our lives. It is only in him that we have strength. It's only in him that we have hope. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So we come to him. We seek his word. We seek his sacrament. We come to him where he is revealed in the word and sacraments. And he offers himself in this bread and the wine so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be strengthened. He knows that we carry a lot of weight, and he wants to provide us rest. So on this Easter day, we celebrate that, yes, the tomb is empty. Jesus paid the price. He appeased the wrath of God the Father so that we could be with him in heaven above. So now God the Father looks at us as his dearly beloved children. And we come to him seeking the rest and strength which he alone provides. This is why we come to celebrate on this Easter. This is why we've come to give thanks. And this is why we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, seeking the food that gives us strength. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.